Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with you wherever you are listening to the Omega Radio Network, hopefully around the world. That is on www.omegaradio.org. And we sure would appreciate all of you who do listen to share the word with everybody that you know. Get the message out that there is a 24-hour a day, 7 days a week, Omega Radio Network that is broadcasting around the world on the internet, on smartphones, on iPads, on iPods, everywhere around the world. And the diversity of the topics that are shared on this radio station are being monitored by moi, that is me, myself, and I, and the Lord, of course, directing everything. But we're just putting some really good stuff out there all day long. You can listen to something that will be very fruitful, and it will cause one to meditate and to think and to really pray about what they are hearing. So I'm just welcoming everyone to the Omega Radio Network. And of course, if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/X-Man777, you also have the opportunity to call into our live radio studio, and we could take your calls and listen to what you have to say or share. And we always love hearing from you and getting a download of what the Spirit of God is saying to you. And those lines are always open. The number to call is 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326. I want to ask you a question this morning before I get into all the news and all the other conversation we're going to have. I want to ask you a question. When God created everything, at the end of it all, he created a place called Eden. Did he not? Did he plant a garden called Eden? Correct? And when I look in the Hebrew definition of the word Eden, it actually means pleasure. Pleasure. So when God created or planted Eden, he created this garden of pleasure. Now, I don't think because we are Christians that we should shrug the shoulder or hold out our hands to resist the idea of pleasure. Let me give you a little bit more definition in the Hebrew. It actually means delight. Delight, a pleasant country. So we have something that God, the Creator, created that was delightful and pleasurable. And I guess some people would say in the definition, it talks about a pleasant country in Asia, or the site of which is described in Genesis 2, 10 to 14, in which was the garden where the first created human beings were placed. All right. So there's a lot of thought about that. But the fact of the matter that this would be likened, I don't even think it's a fair comparison, but likened unto the greatest 5-star resort or 10-star resort on the planet, right? Well, obviously, God's garden of delight and God's garden of pleasure would transcend anything that this present state of things could ever give. I mean, the water supply that was in the Garden of Eden were those four, that one river that parted into four heads and the trees for every good thing. And I mean, only God knows through a sanctified imagination, he might reveal to us how pleasurable and how delightful it really was. But my point is that the creator of the universe, when he creates, he does all things good. And when he created this Garden of Eden for man. So get the idea now. God created Eden, the best that he could possibly give. There was not anything any better that God could have planted, that God could have provided than Eden. Eden was his special design, the very best that he could bring the man into. Now, God created it. He brought man into it. Today, we are living in a covenant, and we understand it to be the new covenant, even though it's 2,000 years old, right? The new covenant that began with Yeshua, whose blood ratified the covenant. We're talking legal documentation here, that Yahweh, our Father, he designed a covenant. And what we're looking at in the New Testament, or what that new covenant is something also designed and created by God himself. Just as God created Eden, just as God designed Eden, the very best that he had, and brought men into it, so in the new covenant, that new covenant is also created and designed by Yahweh God. He ratified it or sealed it with the blood of his son, and that new covenant is filled with promises that will surely bring delight and pleasure and all the different things we're going to be talking about as we go. But I want you to get a visualization in your mind for just a moment that God really did create Eden, the very best that he had. He invited man into it. He just invited man into it. Man didn't even, you know, do anything right or wrong. God just invited the man that he created into it. It's what he provided for him. It's what he gave to him. Free gift. Nothing to purchase. You don't have to go to the 5-star resort and put a credit card on file and pay for it and then go back and sweat by the sweat of your brow and all of that. This is a free gift in entrance, access into this garden of delight and pleasure, the design of God. So the new covenant is also created and designed by God. And when you read the covenant, when you and I take time to really look into and peer into the covenant that God has made and created and sealed with the blood of his son, that covenant is good. It is likened unto the Garden of Eden. And again, the invitation has gone out for 2,000 years to whosoever will to come into the covenant, to come into God's covenant of promise. There's only one access point. And the access point into the covenant is the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah. So when man in the Old Testament was thrust out of the garden there were angels with swords protecting the way, right? Lest man should go back into that garden in his fallen condition, that wouldn't have been good. So the access into the garden or the covenant that God has made through his son 2,000 years ago is only accessible through his son. Okay, we pretty much get that, right? And what we realize is that God did not make a covenant with Adam and Eve. Okay, he brought them into the garden, and then he gave them some very specific instructions. But God just created something for them, designed it for them before they had anything to do with it. Well, the new covenant is also designed by God, but it is God's new covenant with himself. And we're going to go into the book of Hebrews and other scriptures and take a look at this, but I want to lay the framework. So the covenant that God has made in what we call the new covenant is exactly what God did with Eden. He created it. He designed it. Pleasurable. Delightful. Brought man into it. Now he has a new covenant that he has created and designed, but he didn't make a covenant with you, and he doesn't make a covenant with me, and he doesn't make this covenant is not a covenant with Israel. It's not a covenant with anybody. This covenant is covenant that God made with himself. In other words, he created an environment, a new environment. Eden was an environment. The new covenant is an environment. Okay. Yes, it's a legal document, but it creates an environment. And when the call and the invitation goes out to man to come out of the land of thorns and thistles, the land of curse and sweating by the brow, and, you know, all the negative, bad curses that came on man when he left the garden, because it's a sin-sick world, right? It's a waste, howling wilderness out there. And we try to make it as pleasant as we can, but there's a lot of pain and suffering and hurt. Well, there is an environment. There is a place for the human race today, and it's not a geographical place called heaven out there somewhere. It is an environment that God has created, what we call the new covenant. And we have been invited into God's covenant or into God's environment of what he created. Now, we know that as you and I access that environment, we access that covenant, we come into it through faith in Jesus Christ. And then when we access it, the very first thing that we receive, according to the book of Ephesians, is the seal of the Holy Spirit. And the seal of the Holy Spirit is our earnest, our down payment, the deposit. It is what we get, the first fruits of what God is going to release in eternity. We now have a seal that represents the authenticity of our belonging in the covenant. So our access through the blood of Jesus, we receive a seal to authenticate that we belong in Eden, or we belong in the covenant. We are the covenant people. Okay. And I'm just kind of laying framework. Well, the scriptures are there. They're going to confirm what we're saying. So when you and I enter into the new covenant, number one, there's a promise of forgiveness, which affects every single part of our psyche, our psuche, our spirit, our soul, our body. When we are forgiven, we come through the blood, we come through the cross, our sins are forgiven. That's just the beginning of this, right? And not only are our sins forgiven, but you know, our sins created a lot of damage. We were damaged goods when God bought us. And so when we enter into Eden or the covenant that God has made, well, within that covenant, there's also a promise of not only being forgiven, but to be restored. So there is a work of restoration that is going on the inside of you and I. Our humanity has been twisted into like a pretzel. We have been confused, chaos. We come to God, like it says in Genesis, the earth was without form and void, tohu and bohu. And the human race has been made tohu and bohu, and that means misery, confusion, all the negativity, darkness, sorrow, suffering. You look at those definitions of tohu and bohu, that is what came upon the human race. So when we enter into the garden, God deals with that tohu and that boho, that misery, that confusion, that pain, that sorrow, that darkness, that chaos. And so the promise in the new covenant is a restoration from the inside out, a transformation at the cellular level and deeper into the blood. Everything is changed. That's why Paul wrote, we are new creations or new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new or are becoming new. And so we now in the garden, we've been brought back to Eden or the covenant that God has made. I want you to see the connection. And then there's a promise, if you read the new covenant, of healing. And that's not just being healed of a cough or a cold or cancer or paralysis or muteness or deafness, but there's a wholeness involved. Like the 10 lepers, 9 were healed, but 1 was made whole. And there's the promise of healing, restoration, forgiveness, deliverance from demons. But also, when you enter into God's garden of delight, God's garden of pleasure, he tells you to go ahead and partake of all those trees of the field, except for the one, right? But he says here, it's all yours. Partake of it. Eat the fruit of the trees. Enjoy. And only God knows what was there altogether. What kind of life and activities and things, you know, you go to a resort, you get to play golf or tennis or whatever you like to do, you know, some kind of entertainment. But you can imagine what God had put in that garden of delight and pleasure. It must have thrilled man's heart. Adam and Mrs. Adam must have been thrilled with what God had put there. Maybe they were swinging through trees like Tarzan. I don't know. But whatever they were doing, today we zip line, right? Zip line through the forest. Whatever God put there, it was magnificent, amazing, brought great joy and happiness and laughter. And my goodness, it must have been amazing. So in the new covenant, God also gives us things to delight in and to take pleasure in. And it is all an environment. And so that is the new covenant. It is a covenant of delight. It is a covenant of pleasure. You and I have been invited into it. Now, as long as we come into it and partake of, I think someone said over 1,800 promises. I mean, this environment of the new covenant is such a spiritual environment. Now, remember, this is not geographical. This is a spiritual migration where your spirit and my spirit, your soul and my soul, we enter into that environment of Eden in the new covenant. Our spirit's coming back to God. We've been reconciled. We've been brought back to God by the work of Christ on the cross. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are authenticated as real members, as a family of God in the environment that God has created in these last days. Now, God doesn't say to us, now that we've entered into his garden of delight, don't take any delight. Now that we've entered into the garden of pleasure, God doesn't say, you've entered into the garden of pleasure, but don't take pleasure. No, he says that pleasure and delight is here. And pleasure and delight is healing, forgiveness, a freed conscience. No more guilt, no more shame, no more condemnation, no more judgment, no more wrath. No more sickness, no more disease, no more brokenness, no more poverty, for all things are granted. The environment of the new covenant is a pleasurable, delightful environment that enriches the soul and the spirit of those who enter into it. Now, because God made a covenant with himself, it'll never be broken. The new covenant that was ratified in the blood of Jesus Christ will never be broken. It'll never end. And whether or not you and I ever genuinely enter into it or not does not change the fact that it does exist. It's like, well, Eden exists, but we've never been into it, so maybe it doesn't exist. Or we think Eden to be a certain way, even though we've never been there, so we try to surmise it's this way or that way, but we never really know. The only way to really know the environment of the new covenant is by actually accessing it. Now, we're told in Romans chapter 5 that we have access through the blood of Jesus Christ and by our faith into the grace. What is the grace? It's the new covenant. The grace of God is afforded, and how sweet it is. Oh, divine grace. Oh, what wonderful grace. Oh, what magnificent grace. Oh, what amazing grace Now, that's a spiritual environment in the new covenant. So now we have access. We get to come in into God's covenant. He didn't make a covenant with me, but he invited me into his covenant. So now we enter into the covenant. We go back into the environment of Eden, spiritually, solically. We realize that within that environment are all these blessings, because it's a covenant of blessing for my spirit and my soul. My body obviously is going to be affected by it here on earth, but my body here on earth is only temporary, so I don't view the covenant as being just a temporary thing for my stay here on earth. No, my blessing is in the spirit. My blessing is in the restoration of my soul. My body is only a participant, which obviously is going to be affected in a genuinely good way, like Moses coming down out of the mountain of God. They had to cover his head because of the glory that was on him. So the glory of God that is going on inside of us is going to have an impact on our physical bodies. To that, there's no doubt. But here's what God says. Okay, Vincent, Joe, Julie, Sue, Tony, Betty, you're all entered. Come on in. I made this. I've created an environment for you like I did at the beginning of time. And I'm welcoming you into my environment. I'm welcoming you into the new covenant, the covenant I've made by myself, so that it will never be broken ever, ever again. There's not going to be a billion years and then a new covenant made. The covenant is sealed. The environment is there. It will always be there. We just don't know the extent of how grand and expansive that is going to be. But we know it's good. That's why people long for heaven, but they're not realizing that the covenant is now available. Now we enter into that spiritual environment that God has created. So what happens when we get in there? Well, we're sealed, we're authenticated. But Adam and Mrs. Adam went into the garden, didn't they? Yes, they did. But they didn't remain there because they did not abide in the instructions. Adam and Mrs. Adam were registered. They were authenticated. They were in the garden. They had the right to be there. They were the recipients of everything that God had created good and pleasurable and delightful. And yet, they entered into something that they did not create. God created it, brought them in freely, gave it to them freely, but he instructed them. So, to remain in the environment of the new covenant requires a maintaining of abiding in the instructions. Now, the moment somebody loves this world more than God's environment, the moment somebody doesn't want to do what's right in that environment of God, well, God has already shown that he will remove them from his place. Because why? His environment is not going to be corrupted or defiled or sullied in any way. So an individual has the right, listen, the person has the right to go back out of Eden, so to speak, if they want to go into the world. They have every right to do so. This is how names get erased from the book of life. When we enter in, we're registered. Our names are written in the book of life, but Revelation says the name could be blotted out of the book of life. In other words, we've lost our right to remain. So a minor point, which is really major in theme, is that once we enter into this covenant, we're to remain. And that's why Jesus said, abide in me, and my words will abide in you. He said that there were branches on the tree that stopped bearing fruit, and they had to be cut off. Everything in the scriptures, if you will continue in the faith, if you continue. So what is the faith? The faith that you and I have is that God has provided an environment for our born-again spirit, our soul, our eternal soul, our indisintegratable soul, if you will. It will never disintegrate. It's there. It's there. We're in it. Are you in it? Are you in the new covenant? Do you understand the promises that have been afforded you in the new covenant? But here's the problem. Here's the problem. Here's the struggle. It's there. It exists. But Galatians 5 says that we are in a battle. The spirit is warring against our flesh, and our flesh is warring against the spirit. Now think about this. We're told in Romans chapter 8 that our carnal mind is enmity against God. It will not obey God. So we have a flesh human nature that is warring against the Spirit of God. We have a carnal mind that is hostile against God. And so it would be so easy for us to just enter into this garden of delight, this new covenant, and to partake of all the benefits and the promises, and to be afforded that divine blessing and glory of pleasure and delight, and walk and live in that, right? But we have a problem. And the problem is the struggle between the flesh and the spirit, the carnal mind and the mind of Christ. Now, in both cases, the Bible gives an answer. The Bible says that we're to carry our cross, we're to put off the old man, put on the new man. We are to live a crucified life. We are to, you know, deny the corruptible nature, and we're to get rid of it. So the Bible actually gives us information that, of things we can do by the power of the Holy Spirit. It all gets down to yielding. If I have the Holy Spirit and I have a flesh nature, my job at the core of my existence is to yield to one or the other. Yes, my flesh nature is warring, but the Spirit of God in me is warring too. And what is greater, my flesh or God's Holy Spirit? I would tend to believe that the Holy Spirit has greater power than my flesh. And I would also believe, as I saturate myself with the Word of God, that the mind of Christ is growing on the inside of me so that I no longer have to live out of that hostile carnal mind. I could live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is my meat and this is my drink. So let's get to a point here for just a moment. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to, this is now Garden of Eden, okay? This is now the new covenant activated. This is no longer outside in the waste howling wilderness of this world. This is a message to those who have come into the covenant. One of the things that God talks about in verse 1 is now concerning spiritual gifts or spiritual things. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. So the Corinthian church was not to be ignorant of the spiritual gifts or the spiritual things that belong to God. And then he goes on and he says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, talking about the world, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now he says in verse 4, he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, you received the Holy Spirit, right? I've received the Holy Spirit, right? And so he's talking about those who've entered into the Garden of Delight, the Garden of Pleasure, the New Covenant. He said, all right, you've got the Holy Spirit now, and here's how it works, verse 5. He said, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So there is a manifestation of God's Spirit in every one of us who are living in the new covenant, in the Garden of Delight, the Garden of Pleasure, so that we can profit each other. So God has somewhat designed this Holy Spirit to dwell in each one of us so that we could share with one another things that profit and cause growth and increase in our understanding, our walk, et cetera, et cetera. So now he says in verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. Now, I want to stop right there. You heard the last two. The gifts of healing and miracles. They are gifts. Listen to me. What they really are, healing and miracles are manifestations of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift. You and I have received the gift, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, omnipresent, dwelling in people all over the world. But now all people that have accessed the new covenant, the Garden of Eden, have come back to Eden, are living within that spiritual environment. Well, within that spiritual environment, each one of us having a measure of the Spirit of God, of the gift, are now sharing the operation, the manifestation of that particular operation. Which means somebody in the body, somebody in Eden, has the ability to heal. Somebody has the ability to do miracles. My point is, if the Holy Spirit is within you, there is opportunity to operate in this measure, as well as a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. It goes on to say that there is also the prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. He says, but all these work the one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So God is giving. Now, in the local assembly, in every local assembly, every gathering of, it doesn't matter if there's 12 people or 1,200 people or 12,000 people. It doesn't matter. In every local assembly, God would only allow this that assembly that's entered into the covenant, okay, the blessing of the Spirit, it must operate in its fullness in a local assembly. It has to be there. Somebody has to have the ability for miracles. Somebody else, the gift of healing. Somebody else, the word of wisdom. Somebody else, the word of knowledge. Somebody else, the gift of tongues. Somebody else, the interpretation of tongues. Somebody else, the gift of prophecy. And there are other giftings. And that it would not be God to not allow a measure of the Spirit in a local assembly to exist. He wouldn't do that. Because it would block things. It would not become the garden of delight. It would not be the garden of pleasure. So within the local assembly, there has to be somebody that has a gift of miracles. Somebody has a gift of healing. Somebody has a word of wisdom. Somebody, and these operations, they may move. The Holy Spirit is never going to be stuck in a paradigm. I'm telling you right now. Today, Sister Margaret, she has the word of wisdom. But tomorrow, she may be operating in the gift of healing. And today, Brother Joe or Brother Ed may be operating in the gift of discernment, but next week he may be operating in the gift of miracles, because the Holy Spirit moves severally. He doesn't just give to one and say, that's it. That's you forever. You're the guy that only has this and that'll all you. No, the Spirit of God is able to work sovereignly through us all the time in a revolving manner. Because we are his body, we are intrinsic, we are unique, and the Spirit of God is not limited. So it gets back down maybe to the person that's willing to experience all that God has. But every local assembly should have the fullness of the Spirit operating in them through every member so that all could profit. But it's all a gift. It's all a gift. You can't be purchased. It's part of what God gives us right up front in the Holy Spirit. Because the first thing that happens when we have faith in Christ and through his blood and through his cross, we access this place. And then he seals us to authenticate us with the Holy Spirit, which means each one of us have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will move sovereignly through a local assembly to administer all the gifts and operations and manifestations so that everybody in that local assembly will be profited. So we have to ask ourselves, why are we not in our local assemblies experiencing the fullness of the Spirit of God? Why are we not operating in the garden of delight, in the garden of pleasure known as the new covenant? What is it that we have not entered into? And today I want to encourage you and I to access this place. And when I look at it in Romans chapter 5 again, I just love these simple words in Acts Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. In other words, we've come back, we've been reconciled, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. What grace? The grace of the new covenant. The grace of the new covenant. And that grace isn't just a simple thing. That grace is eternally expansive into all the different glories that God has for his people. I mean, this is it. This is what you and I have been brought into. Now, on this earth, in these physical bodies, will we experience the fullness of everything that God has for us throughout eternity? Heck no. We are in a temporary body. We are a vapor. We are here today. Tomorrow, we're gone. We are temporary, not eternal, in our physical bodies. Now, the promise that we get is in the resurrection or the translation, we're going to get glorified bodies, but our spirit and soul are the same. Our spirit and soul are eternal. And so we are already granted the right to partake of the tree of life in the midst of the garden or the covenant that God has made. And we've got to begin to access it and live within that context rather than going out back into the world and vacillating back and forth, back and forth. Today I'm in the spirit. Tomorrow I'm not in the spirit. Remember, the sons of God are who? They who are led by the Spirit of God. The sons of God, the huios, the mature men and women of faith, stay in the Spirit. That's why Paul said, if we walk in the Spirit, let us all live in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, he talked about living in the Spirit. Living in what Spirit? The Spirit of the new covenant. The Spirit of God, the gift, the down payment, the first fruits, the foretaste, the seal, the authenticity of our being a part of. And I think the devil has done an amazing job on many saints, kill and destroy this reality by keeping them in a spirit of condemnation, guilt, shame, that they still believe they are rejected. But I've got news for you. God is not rejecting anybody. Listen to me. God is not rejecting anybody from coming into the covenant that will bring a change to their life. In fact, he desires through the covenant that he has created and the environment connected to the covenant to change everybody that will come into it. So he's not rejecting anybody. It's the devil that is rejecting. He's the one saying, you're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. You don't understand this. My people perish from a lack of knowledge, right? So God is beckoning. The word has gone out. Go to the ends of the earth and invite all creation to come back to me through my son and enter into this covenant of blessing, delight, and pleasure. And people hear it and they say, yeah, that's what I want. I want to live a life in the abundance of God. I want to live a life with joy and love and peace, which are all fruits of the Holy Spirit. I want to live in the grace of God. I want to live in the joy of the Lord. I want to live in the goodness of God, the kindness of God. I want to be a part of every good thing that God has created. I want to live in the abundance of his provision. I desire every good thing that God has. I want to be at peace with him. I want to be with him. You know, it's not about stuff. It's about the environment of his presence. It's the environment of his glory. I want to live in the environment of his glory. I want to live in the environment of his presence. He is my delight. He is my pleasure. He is all things that I inwardly desire. He is life. And I want all of him. And he's not pushing me back. He's not holding me back. He's not resisting me. He's not rejecting me. The devil is resisting. The devil is rejecting. And this is why the cross is so powerful. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ is so abundantly exalted. Because it is the Lord Jesus that has crushed the head of the devil. It is the Lord Jesus that has disarmed the devil. It is the Lord Jesus that has defeated the devil. It is the Lord Jesus. It is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. His Word is true, and we must either listen to him or we're going to listen to that devil. And there's no truth in the devil. He is a deceiver. He is a liar. And when you and I come to faith in Christ and he exists and he insists, the devil insists that we're still guilty, ashamed, and condemned, that is a lie. That is a lie. We cannot partake of the lie that the devil has that we don't have the rights to the fruits of the Garden of Eden, the new covenant. He's telling us that we're not the recipients. But when you and I were sealed, we were authenticated. We have the right. We have the access into. It's a war because the enemy always sets himself at the gate, right? This is where he sets himself, at the gate, to prevent those that want to enter in. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees that you have the key, and yet you're not entering in yourself, and you're preventing them that would enter in from entering in. So what is God saying to you, I? Come on in. Now, when we come into the garden in this new covenant, the environment of God, we're not coming in perfect. We're coming in with all kinds of issues, right? But what is the promise? That all past sins are forgiven? The ability to walk in the instructions of this new environment do exist. There's plenty of mercy. There's plenty of grace. We're living within it. But there's never the purposeful intent of undermining the purpose of God. In fact, the glory of God in this new covenant is so extreme that we feel a sense of shame or conviction when we see ourselves the way we really are in our fallen state. And we cry out, I don't want that in my psyche. I don't want that in my soul. I don't want that to be an experience because I'm enjoying this beautiful covenant that God has created so much. And I do not want it to be spoiled. And so there are moments in all of this that we are growing up in the Lord. There's no problem with growing. But let me say this, access this new covenant. It's time to enter into what God has provided. It's time to enter into, even in the days of Noah, God designed an ark. Noah built it, but God designed it, told him exactly what to do. And that was going to serve as an ark of salvation. And then the invitation went out for 100 years as Noah was preaching to the world of his day. Enter in. Come on. There's a flood coming. Get in. But listen, many did not want to enter in. The majority of the human race did not want to enter in. And they stayed outside of the covenant. They stayed outside of the ark that God built. And so you and I are invited into the ark. We're invited into Eden. We're invited into the new covenant. We are invited into even the wilderness where God has prepared a place for them, but so many people will not enter in. Some people in the church have an idea about these things, but have not yet acted them in reality. They know about it. It sounds good. It's kind of like the parable of the soil of the heart, where Jesus said there are people on the wayside. And then there are people that hear the word and immediately receive it for joy of what it's saying, but they have no root in themselves, and so it doesn't come to any fruition. Then there are people that have the concern and the care for riches, and it chokes the word, and it brings nothing to fruitfulness. But there are those that in the good soil of their heart receive the word, and it produces some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So there's got to be evidence, there's got to be fruit in our lives that we have accessed the covenant. It is impossible not to. You know, if I'm standing outside the garden and I'm hearing about all the good stuff that's going on and I could actually tell everybody about it, but there's not a transformation going on in me, there's no evidence, there's no proof that I've accessed it by the transformation of my life, then what's the point? That's like a preacher telling everybody what the Bible says, but the preacher themselves have not experienced what it means to be healed, to be delivered, to be blessed, to prosper, to be delivered from guilt, shame, condemnation, rejection, the demonic accusation against their lives, right? Because that doesn't exist in the garden. That doesn't exist in the new covenant. The new covenant is even greater, by the way, than the Garden of Eden in this sense. There is no devil operating, but it does seem that in the church there are some demonic spirits, right? It's who you're going to listen to. Who are we going to listen to? Do you want delight and pleasure? Now, Jesus is what? He's delight of the world. The delight of the world. He's the light of the world. Do you and I desire the delight and the pleasure of this new covenant? Do we want to enter into it spiritually, maintain our core, stay within that, live there forever? The house of God, it's open, right? Adopted into the family of God. Or do we want to run back into that silly world of thorns and thistles and curses? Now, I believe that in this new covenant, that when one accesses it in reality, their entire life is totally taken over by it, if they'll allow it. And they allow the spirit of this new covenant to guide, to direct, to instruct, power, to teach, to bring through vistas of different glories within this covenant. Listen, this covenant is not a small little thing, tiny little garden, you know, in the east of Eden. That's not what the new covenant. The new covenant is eternal, universal, beyond dimensional. It is so great. And you and I have access through invitation. Oh, but Lord, I have cattle I have to feed, or I've just married a wife and I can't go, or I've got a job to do, or I'm not worthy of that. How insulting. Remember the parable when the Lord prepared this huge supper and he told his servants, now go out and invite everybody to come. And they began to make excuse and he got angry. He says, well, go into the highways and the hedges, go to the byways, invite everybody. I want my house to be full. It's his invitation to you and I. I do not believe that God is resisting any human being on this earth. I don't care if they're a Muslim, a homosexual, a lesbian, an abortionist doctor. I don't care how sinful, how corrupt, how defiled any human being on this earth. I believe this with all of my heart, that the invitation goes out all to come. To the atheist, to the agnostic, and how will they come? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they know that there's a God of love and mercy and kindness that is willing to receive them in spite of what they have done? Just like you and I. How many of you and I were broken in sin, devastated, and destroyed? And yet the invitation came. Come on in. And there's demonic warfare is we feel uncomfortable because there's something there saying, well, no, you're not worthy of that. You know, this isn't for you. This is for the Jews or those Christian pastors over there in that great little, you know, big mega church or whatever. No. And we're struggling because we're kind of like the prodigal son, and God is, you know, we know that we're dying out here in the pig slop, and there's an idea, maybe I should get back to my father, but I'll just tell him I'm not worthy to be part of his sonship anymore. So I'll just, you know, work as a slave and maybe I can get some food. And we have, that's how we feel, but we cautiously go and we wonder, God, how are we going to be received? And the prodigal son story is all about the reception that the father has for you and I, that he throws everything away, runs after us, falls upon our neck, kisses us, puts a ring on our finger, a robe on our back, a crown on our head, kill the fatted calf. You know, that is the environment of God to every one of us, to come to him. Man, this is the good news. It is the good news. And we have got to tell the people of this earth and ourselves and the people around us. You know, it's okay to go to church and belong to a local assembly. But if that local assembly is not accessing the covenant and the promises, you're just part of a group camped outside of Eden, with your fire burning, go, boy, man, there's a lot going on there in Eden. Boy, I hear the sound of joy over there. I know that, man, I've heard so much about it, but you're camped outside. You haven't entered in yet. And God is saying, hey, there's a doorway, there's an access, there's a gate. His name is Yeshua. It's Jesus. Why don't you just access him and go in? Now, a lot of people say, well, I've accessed Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But, you know, I don't believe I can have any of that good stuff until. Now, we always think of good stuff as an abundance of things. We're not talking about things. We're talking about a spiritual environment for the heart, the spirit. Your spirit doesn't care less about how much gold you have in a safe or silver or how much money in a bank or what kind of house. Your spirit doesn't care about it. Your spirit is living in your body. The only thing your spirit would desire is that you would have a healthy body so that your spirit can, you know, not have to suffer in that environment, right? So we're talking here about love. We're talking about joy. We're talking about peace. If we just stayed right there, love, joy, peace, man, that's an environment to be cultivated, and it does exist. But so few are accessing it. So few are really coming into it. You want a miracle? Go to church. The Spirit of God has to provide miracles to somebody in the house. You want to be healed? Go to church. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Live with people that are in the Spirit, that are walking with the Spirit. Yeah, well, I go to church and nobody's getting healed. Nobody's getting delivered. Nobody? Really? Nobody? I thank God at New Wine Ministries, people get healed all the time. Have we seen the miraculous? I think people are afraid to step into it. I don't, you see, because it's not us doing it. It's the Spirit of God doing it. Is it, oh, that's for the pastor to do it? No, it's not. It's for the body of Christ. For somebody to say, I got it. You know, the Spirit is on me right now for miracles. Yeah, well, I tried that and it didn't work. You're telling me the Holy Spirit doesn't work? The Holy Spirit cannot do? The Holy Spirit is limited? The Holy Spirit is powerless? Or is it that the Holy Spirit is having a hard time manifesting through that local assembly because there's something blocking? Doubt, unbelief? I don't know. I know there's a lot going on in the world. I know that two nights ago, God punctuated with an exclamation mark in the heavens with that blood red moon. He punctuated it. All those tetrads, solar eclipses, celestial signs in the heavens, he punctuated two nights ago. Whoosh, boom, exclamation. To what? I'm going to separate the light from the darkness. Get ready for a division. Get ready for further separation from the light in the darkness within yourself, within the assemblies of God, within the nations of the earth. That's it. It's coming. You talk about a civil war. You talk about division. You talk about separation. It's already around us. It's all acquainted with what's happened in the heavens for the last several years. We are more divided now than we have ever been. When did these blood red moons start? Listen, they started in 2014. What happened after that? The White House, the Supreme Court of the United States under Barack Obama, they said, we want to have legal, we basically want to promote what is depraved and confused and sinful. So we're going to allow homosexual marriages, lesbian marriages. We're going to continue to allow abortions, the innocent blood being shed. That goes on in the world, right? But that divided light from darkness. I mean, the darkness just said, here I am. And the people of light had to say, well, wait a second, I've got to separate myself more from that. So the union has been divided just in America, speaking naturally. But this is running so deep. And I believe that the final division nationally, internationally, inwardly, intrinsically, within the assembly, is now here. It has been punctuated in heaven for those who have an ear to hear and eye to see. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, you have to listen to yesterday's broadcast. So the question is, where are you in this separation that's coming? Are you in the covenant of light, of pleasure, of delight, of glory, Or are you in the world? Or are you 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the kingdom? Where are you? Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's what he said. Are you all in or are you all out? Now, to live in the covenant doesn't mean I don't go to work at Walmart. Heck no. Go get a job at Walmart as a doorkeeper and smile at every person and pray for every person that walks through that door if God tells you to do it. Living within the spiritual environment of God doesn't necessitate anything on this earth. Work anywhere. Just go get a job, for goodness sake, so that you have some money to give and bills to pay and not be a burden on anybody else, right? Just don't say, I'm so spiritual, I'm part of the new covenant, and therefore I don't work, and therefore I never have anything, and I live like a pauper. No. Go get a job. Become a CEO or become a janitor. It doesn't matter as long as your needs are met and you have a little bit to give to somebody else. Give God what belongs to God. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Pay your bills, pay your bills. I don't know how long it's going to last until that doesn't exist anymore. But what my point is just because we're covenant people doesn't mean that we're not in this world. We are. We're in it, but we're not of it because our spiritual environment is Eden. But we live on this earth and we have a job to do. So do it. But do it with the spiritual environment of joy and peace and goodness and fruitfulness and abounding mercy. So today, let us rebuke the devil that's trying to convince us that we don't have access. You do have access. Tell the devil to get the heck out of the way. Tell the devil, get out of my way, because he has no power but to lie. He cannot touch you unless he's given the right to do so. Has God foreknown you from before the foundation of the world? Has God foreknown you? Yes, he has. He's actually gone out of his way to rescue you, to bring you into a new environment, not a worldly environment of what the world can provide, but into a spiritual environment, God's environment. It's not a little limited garden over in Asia anymore. It is a kingdom environment. The covenant is the kingdom. When we enter into the kingdom, we're entering into what God created. We don't create little kingdoms. God created the kingdom. The covenant is you get to go into it. The kingdom in Eden, one and the same. And then we become like pillars, and we are immovable. We'll never go in and out ever again. We learn to live in the spirit of the covenant. I don't know. I just felt that was so important to share today. Maybe you have some questions or thoughts or comments about what you're hearing today. We've got a couple of minutes. If you'd like to weigh in on the conversation, the number to call is 818-369-0326. And you press 1 on the dial pad, and I'll bring you right into the broadcast. So what did you hear today? What is that? How does that affect you? Is that like common knowledge? Pastor, I'm glad you finally got it. Or is that helpful to you? And will you access this glorious place called the New Covenant, the Garden of Delight, the Garden of Pleasure? And don't you think for a second that I'm telling you right now that religion tells you you can't have it. That's what the scribes and Pharisees did. You can't have this. I will never agree with anybody that says a Christian can't have the delight and pleasure that God affords. That would put a curse on my own life. So I say enter into it. Enter in to the covenant. Fess Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and the only begotten Son of God. Receive his work on the cross, the forgiveness of your sins, and then access and be sealed with the Holy Spirit so that you're authenticated to live within the promises of God, and then study the Bible. Study the new covenant. You might want to begin in Hebrews. But it's everywhere. A better covenant, better promises, and it's never going to end. God's covenant with Israel ended. Boom. His covenant with Adam, boom. His covenant with Noah ends. His covenant with his son, with himself, never ends. And he invites you and I to enter in. I'm going to go. You're going to go. Hallelujah. We've run out of time. We're going to continue on. There's a little song that's being played over at Omega Radio right now. We're going to say goodbye. God bless. Patricia Joy Xavier will be up immediately following this little song of the seven spirits of God burning. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Until we meet again, Lord willing, tomorrow, shalom and God bless.